I guess some kind of a robe. Must have belonged to a judge or something. I never owned such an outfit. Can you see about you?
A little.
Someone here says her name is Mary.
Who is she?
Mary is a spirit who is there to help you to understand the new life. Mary says he is so stupefied by this new thought, we had better wait a little.
Has he been on that side long?
We think he has been unconscious for several months, and is hardly fully awakened now.
Can you make him understand now?
Yes, we think so. Shall we ask him any further questions?
You might ask him where he lived.
We did so, but he seemed unable to answer, finally saying, "What's the matter with my brain? I can't remember. Who will take care of me?"
The one who said her name was Mary.
The one in the white pearly robe?
Yes.
Isn't there someone else there also?
Yes.
One in a beautiful dress.
My.
I never saw such beautiful dresses before.
Will they help me?
Of course they will.
Mary says we can care for him now.
The camp meeting convert. We would like to bring a woman to you for help. She was a poor woman on earth, and what religion she had was of the most primitive kind: colon southern camp meetings, getting the glory, hysteria, and all the rest, comma, until she believed she was one of the elect, and would be received here by Christ himself. Can you imagine her reaction when she came into consciousness and found only her guides, who impressed her, first of all, with their humility? And when she expected a crown of glory, she saw instead kind and loving friends, whom at first she could not appreciate. She has partly recovered from that shock, but is in a state of disappointment, and feels that she has been utterly deceived. Will you ask her a question?
185.
Well, friend, I understand you are disappointed with what you have found.
I am.
What place is this?
It is Spirit Land, where spirits first go when leaving the earth life.
Where is heaven?
Perhaps if you first find your spirit self, you will the easier find heaven.
My spirit self?
I gave that to God long ago.
Are you sure? Did not God give it to you?
Not that.
Yes, it is true. We have been taught better.
I got religion.
I was converted, and I gave myself to God.
Do you know what God wishes you to do?
Why am I not told?
Perhaps that is why I am here?
Who are you?
I am here to tell you some of the things you should know.
Where are you?
I am on earth.
You are in spirit land.
Well.
I might know you could not help me.
I left the earth, and am waiting for heaven.
Who told you that you would go directly to heaven?
Why, the preacher who saved me.
How did he save you?
Why, I went forward to the sinner's bench, and they prayed for us all, and the first I knew, I was shouting, "Glory, glory."
That's the way God saved me.
186. Are you sure God made you do all that?
Of course I am.
Have you read the 5th chapter of Matthew?
No.
That gives Christ's own words.
What are they?
One thing he said is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
I am converted, I tell you.
And I ought to be in heaven now.
Why?
Just because you were down on your knees?
Yes, that is the way.
That is what the preacher said.
Shall I tell you what you should do?
You do not know.
Yes, I do know.
Tell me then.
You should think kindly of others, and help all who are in need.
There was no reply, and Mary wrote, "She cannot get that at once.
Be patient, and keep on talking to her.
Do you see anyone near you?"
"Yes, there are some shadows.
These are spirits like yourself."
"Who are they?"
"They are friends of ours in spirit land."
"Who converted them?"
"They advanced toward heaven by the heavenly law of kindness."
"Is that the way?"
"Indeed it is."
"Can you hear anyone?"
187. "I hear just a little."
"What are they saying?"
"What shall I tell her, Mary?"
"Tell her that in spirit land, which is the portal to the heavenly spheres, love is the first requirement."
"Could you hear her?"
"A little."
"Was she talking to me?"
"She was talking to me and telling what was necessary."
"What is it?"
"She says you must have love in your heart."
"How will I get it?"
"Can she talk to me?"
"Yes."
"Listen to her.
Can you understand?"
"I hear her a little dot. She talks about love."
"How can I get it?"
"Listen to her.
She will tell you."
"I will try dot. She says she will help me.
But, oh,
where is heaven, and my crown, and all the rest?"
You will find the rest later.
Well, I'll try.
Will it take long?
That will depend upon yourself.
Well, I will do as she says, anyway.
Can you care for her now, Mary?
Yes, we will care for her. She begins to hear, and her sight is coming.
She will be all right.
Dee has got her in hand now.
Will it take a long time?
We can never tell. Sometimes there is an inner spirit which receives with astonishing quickness. But this one at present shows little sign of any spirit illumination. She represents many who have been converted in this way. There are grades of intelligence, of course, but she is not the first one representing this type. A few days later we asked about her.
Mary replied, she was very ignorant, and yet convinced that she had experienced true religion.
188 Perhaps you would like to know the rest of the experience. We tried to help her, but she still persisted that she had got religion in the Great Revival, as she called it. We had to let her go for a time, but finally she came back in a more possible frame of mind, and we tried to give her one idea at a time : that she must listen, listen, until she could hear us say that love is the fulfillment of the law, and that she must set herself to proving this for herself by trying what loving service for others would do for her. She did not see what she could do, so we asked her to tell others who had arrived in perfect ignorance of this life. She finally began her mission, and, to our joy, she began to realize. That was the beginning, and afterwards she became humble, and in that state of mind we could teach her other truths of spirit life. She is growing toward the light now, and soon will come into perfect happiness.
Some come very quickly, it seems?
Yes, as soon as they accept guidance, and can begin to see and hear. The advancement is rapid. Appendix Mental Processes. It is after much hesitation that this chapter is included in the book. It will not be interesting to most readers, and has only a little connection with spirit life in general. The attempt to describe mental processes in material terms will seem clumsy and unnecessary to some, and may not bring enlightenment to anyone. But it did interest me, and the manner of its delivery and record is worth relating. It was written through my pencil in some 8 or 9 installments covering several weeks. Scattered in between were many other messages on entirely different subjects, several of them being of importance. I never knew when I took up the pencil what was coming. And if it chanced to be this subject, it always began just where it was dropped before. I know that skeptics, and especially skeptical psychologists, will attribute it all to my subconscious mind. But to my thinking it stretches this theory beyond the breaking point, and I cannot imagine what other source could possibly be suggested except a spiritistic one. There is not the slightest evidence that it originated in my mind except the fact that some unusual mental feats have been fairly well proven to be the work of a subconscious mind in other instances. So to avoid the spiritistic theory, critics will class this with them, although there is no other excuse for it. The following is the complete message collected from our records. When a spirit here has needed to impress a thought on another, he may use one of several methods. We use speech as you do, but not always. We use signs and symbols corresponding to writing, as you do, but not so often. Many times we simply transfer our thought directly to the one we wish to impress. It is this method we wish to describe, or at least to discuss. To get an understanding of such a process, it is first necessary to try to understand what thought is. Here we encounter at the very beginning the greatest problem of all. 189 We cannot in any way explain the process, for it is too little understood even by us. But we can describe some of the operations of thought, though we may not know the complete origin of these operations. We have the power, most of us, of seeing these operations. You might compare it with a view of the operations of an intricate mechanism on Earth. What we see, however, is not wheels and levers, but just the thoughts themselves. How do they appear? What do they look like, you say? Well, it is more like the forming of a sentence of writing. Not that any words or letters appear, but impressions of words come to us in a way that we can only compare to that of vision. Just what causes these impressions is what we wish to try to explain. We have learned that all efforts to think cause vibrations in the ether. These vibrations are just as complex as the waves generated in the atmosphere by the voice, and usually much more so. You have noted, no doubt, when listening to a phonograph, how the peculiar timbre of the human voice is reproduced so perfectly that no difficulty is experienced in recognizing the author of the record. If you can carry your imagination forward so as to comprehend an ethereal vibration still more complex, you can possibly begin to understand the process of the transmission of thought. So much for the origin. Now you will find a greater difficulty in trying to understand how these ethereal waves are received and recorded so as to complete the impression on the mind of the one for whom the thought was intended. Your difficulty will come from the human inability to entirely put aside the conception of the material brain. You must imagine, for the moment, an ethereal counterpart. We are not saying that we have such a counterpart, but you will more readily understand the process by keeping such a picture in your mind. Now when a thought strikes this spirit brain, it causes a motion to take place, a motion of the particles composing the brain. The motion which is set up varies as the thought which causes it varies. When these moving particles come to rest, they adjust themselves in impressions or patterns. Different thoughts resulting in different patterns. When such an impression is formed, it remains or persists indefinitely. A new thought does not disturb it, but each pattern, to a certain extent, covers or hides those formed before, and so those formed earliest are most obscured, other things being equal. A strong thought causes a prominent pattern. Such a one is not as easily obscured as more indefinite ones. The particles that form each pattern are only an infinitesimal portion of those available. A thought does not cause all the particles to move. You will wonder how an unlimited record is made, for you will rightly imagine that there must be a limit to the particles composing the brain. We can explain this by saying that this is the only thing in spirit life corresponding to the phenomenon of weariness in material life. As these particles are used by incoming thoughts, the depletion causes a condition that might be called fatigue. But with a short rest, these are restored from the universal source of all power. We do not know this source sufficiently to enter into any description of it now. But the new particles arrive from somewhere and build up or replace the portion used up by the patterns or records formed. The force of the thought waves is spent in setting up the motion of these particles. 190 These waves go out in all directions, but unless they strike a receiving brain, they are lost in space. The particles are always in motion, they never stop except under spirit influence. The thought waves change their motion, and they come to rest after a length of time that is conditioned by the strength of the thought. The stronger the motion, the more pronounced is the record formed. When once at rest, they form a permanent pattern. This might be compared to some of your physical laws. For instance, the blood remains fluid when confined to the veins and arteries, but when exposed to the influence of the air, it coagulates. Do you see the comparison? We will have some difficulty in explaining where these patterns remain when once formed. The result of continued thoughts is not a series of separate patterns, but is somewhat continuous, like a ribbon. That description will have to answer, but it is not an accurate one at all. For in reality, this roll of ribbon occupies no space at all. You can see here what difficulties we have in attempting to use material terms. But it will show you that there is thus plenty of room for unlimited records. Notwithstanding the fact that they occupy no space, they are yet visible, and are subject to laws of the controlling spirit, else they could not be recalled by memory. We see these patterns in your mind that are formed as you think, and we can see some of those you have placed away for further use. But we cannot see all of the latter, for, as we have said, the later ones more or less obscure those formed earlier. When certain patterns are made, they sometimes have pronounced peculiarities, and if we continue to use material terms, we might refer to these as projections. These projections sometimes make contact with similar ones of other records that have been previously made. This seems to connect them in a way that brings the second pattern into the consciousness, a process which we term remembering. When such an impression is recalled, the action of the mind causes other particles to adjust themselves to the pattern, making it slightly more prominent. This explains why when a thought is recalled, it is easier to recall it a second or a third time. When one simply desires to recall a certain idea or pattern, his thought forms a new impression that makes contact with the old one and thus drags it to the fore. We use some of the impressions over many times, and by this use they finally become so prominent that they influence the action of the brain automatically, and in this way habits of thought are formed. And when such thought is associated with muscular action in any way, it results in habits of action and conduct. We would like you to think of this record as more or less continuous, but not exactly as a ribbon. The more exact picture would show it as discontinuous, although not detached, if we can use that expression. We mean that it is discontinuous enough so that portions of it can be recalled without bringing all of it into consciousness. Now, just what is this record composed of? We have spoken of the moving particles. These are the foundations of life, the foundations of the universe. Your scientists try to conceive of something which they call ether. These particles are portions of that something. They differ from your electrons only slightly, but they are subject to separate laws, and are thus beyond the observations of your scientists. You have, of course, pictured these patterns as only a mortal mind can do. They seem like material ribbons. Here is where the physical and the spiritual world differ. 191. When these particles adjust themselves into records, they are permanent. But permanency in the spirit world does not imply three-dimensional space. This we cannot make you understand. Spiritual laws are not the same as material laws, and mortal mind will have to content itself with our statements. To spirit mind, these records are as solid as phonograph discs are to you. But, as we said, they occupy no space in a physical sense. Now, if you have accepted our statements thus far, you are no doubt beginning to wonder what the will, the mind, is that controls this brain and these particles. I am afraid we will have to let you continue to wonder about that, for that is what we are still doing, and there seems no prospect of our solving the problem on this plane. There was a break here for a week or more. Meantime, Mary and Dee wrote the following in regard to what had already been given. We will tell you about the trip we took to a faraway circle. We went to learn what we could about mind power. We knew the message was really for you, and we wished to know more about the subject ourselves. We found a large circle that has made many investigations and experiments in the study of the action of one mind on another. They have invented many delicate instruments to record and measure the waves of thought. They record them in a way that resembles the phonograph. But these instruments are far more delicate and perfected than anything that Earth people have yet contrived. We watched the work of recording our own thoughts. We could examine the records, and many times could recognize the thought, somewhat as we recognize a thought in your brain. You might call these records an artificial memory, for they are permanently recorded, and by experts can be read at any time. We could probably record our thoughts in that way for use in our libraries, although we have other methods that answer for the present. We think, however, that it may lead to a new way of recording for that purpose in addition to what we have. We were especially interested in the beauty of the patterns. You would not think perhaps that there was any special relation between the beauty of the pattern and the beauty of the thought, but it is so, and markedly so. Perhaps this is a clue to the effect that beautiful thoughts have on the appearance or features of the one who gives out such thoughts. It is a tremendous subject, and means so much in character forming. For if thought can form visible effects in material, how much more likely that it can affect the character, both of the thinker and of the receiver of the thought. We have seen no patterns that you could truthfully call pictures. They are representations of the special thought, and similar thoughts make similar records. But a thought or mental picture of a tree would not make a record that looked like a tree. At another time we visited another circle where they are experimenting with mind action, but they are studying it in a different way. They are watching the actual effects of thought on the brain itself. They are all very clairvoyant and can watch the disturbances set up by the thought waves. They have found that the results correspond to what has been learned in the other circle, so they feel that they are both correct in their conclusions. The teacher who is giving you the message has worked with these circles. 192. He has made a long study of thought influence and can explain many things which we would not to attempt. Then a little later the first teacher made a summary of the statements first given and added a few comments. As Mary told you the other evening, we have invented many ways of measuring and recording the work of the mind, and a study of the records convinces us that we have arrived at the truth of a number of things. We find, for instance, that thought waves move in all directions and are lost in space unless they strike a brain that is in a condition to receive them. But the force of these waves does not decrease according to the distance. They are just as powerful after traveling thousands of miles as they are on the brain of one who is present. We have found that these waves are very much more penetrating than any material waves of which you have knowledge. No substance is dense enough to impede their progress. They can reach any brain no matter where the individual may be. We have told you that the spirit brain is composed of moving particles. You can imagine these particles moving in much the same manner as the electrons move in a material substance. But the laws which control them are entirely different. We believe them to be very similar to your electrons as to their origin, but just enough different to be controlled by spirit laws instead of material laws. We know that they are some form of force, and that they can combine in various ways. We do not know of any such combination, however, that is not caused by the action of the mind. When a thought causes a series of waves, these waves may reach some brains that do not respond. This is because the power of that brain is at that time being expended in some other way. But if it is in passive condition, they register by changing the motion of the brain particles from a circular to a wave motion. The motion that they ordinarily maintain is circular, not in regular orbits, but forming various spiral movements throughout the space which they occupy. Your electrons move about a nucleus, and thus are more fixed. We think that is the point that should be remembered in any comparison between the two. Now to sum up. The waves of particles are always subject to the power of the individual. We think, and the waves are formed by the thought. We make our brain passive, and thoughts from others can cause the particles to take up the wave motion. So long as their motion is circular, they remain in motion. But the change to a wave motion brings them under the control of another law. When they become quiet, they are grouped in various ways. You perhaps know of patterns that can be formed by causing particles of sand to vibrate on a glass plate. The thought patterns are not so unlike these as one might imagine. You will have to be satisfied by our saying that they form a series of impressions running one into the other in an extended formation. But this ribbon or stream can be broken at almost any point when a thought recoils any portion from the memory. This is the best we have been able to do in trying to describe the processes of thought and memory in earthly language. 193. The subconscious mind. Psychologists have often spoken of the subconscious mind as a vast reservoir in which all sorts of information is stored, and have said that a stream drawn from this reservoir may consist of almost any sort of mixture. In this way they try to account for all that is given through automatic writing. But when such writing or such stream contains ingredients for which there is no evidence that they could ever have been deposited in the reservoir, the analogy fails, and other theories are resorted to or added. These theories are principally two. The first, that this addition was somehow placed there without the knowledge of the conscious mind. The second, that the mind has unknown powers of seeking this extra information. The first explanation is true if a spiritistic or psychometric influence is admitted, otherwise it is simply an assertion made to avoid this admission. The second explanation is also only an evasion of the spiritistic theory, as there is no evidence to support it. Grant the statements, that the knowledge already stored can be recombined, and that spirits can also send information through the same channel, and practically every word of automatic writing can be explained. Some few incidents that are at present classed as psychometry are still a little strange. But spirit influence is not disproven even then. And even if a discarnate intelligence has no part in the proceeding, it is just as simple and just as logical to guess that the psychometrized article itself can influence the mind directly as it is to guess that the subconscious mind can go out and hunt up the information. After the matter given in the previous chapter was all recorded, this teacher took up the subject of the subconscious mind to the extent of giving quite full directions for judging the origin of messages received through automatic writing. He said, "The subconscious mind is an important part of your mortal makeup. We here do not have to reckon with it, as it is always available to us at will. But with you it is usually beyond the control of the will. Any disturbance of your physical body is sufficient to influence the thoughts stored away in your subconscious mind. And when once stirred up, these thoughts can recombine with results that are sometimes startling. You of course know a little of this from your dreams. But with some people there is a power of connected action far beyond even that ordinarily found in their dreams. Your psychologists have many records of wonderful performances of the subconscious mind, and many of them are rightly ascribed to that action. But there are also some that are influenced from this side, and you will always have some difficulty in determining to which class they belong. But we can state one fact: no action of the subconscious mind uses any information except what has been previously stored there. If anything else appears, it has been deliberately placed there at the time by some outside agency. We know this to be true from watching actual operations. We have made many such observations on mortal brains. You hear it said that the mind has the power to go out and select this information. But no one tells you how this can be done. You hear that the soul can leave the body. We know that this can be done. But the two statements are not identical. If the mind went out to seek these facts, there would ensue a condition of trance, which in most automatic writing never occurs. 194. You will hear some spiritualists claim that all unusual subconscious action is caused by spirit influence. This we know to be far from the truth. Spirit influence working through the subconscious mind can sometimes achieve wonderful results. But any spirit influence necessitates a psychic nature on the part of the medium, or the one who is writing. If this is lacking, the messages can be quite truthfully claimed to be of subconscious origin, and they will therefore contain no new material, although they may possibly be presented in striking phrases. No medium, however, can write on any subject as quickly or surely when not in a psychic condition, and you will also find that the power of logical combination of facts is rarely more marked in subconscious actions than is possible in normal or conscious thoughts of the same individual. Again, there is in all persons a tendency to exaggerate. This seems to be a universal human trait. You will find that productions from spirit influence are free from such exaggeration. You wonder if spirit cannot be guilty of this. Possibly, occasionally. But spirit soon learns here that such a fault should be cast aside. Also, spirit influence usually introduces the sentences to the pencil almost a word at a time as it is written. True subconscious-conscious action is likely to manifest in the conscious mind much more in advance. The product of the subconscious mind is a parchment to be marked by idioms that are characteristic of the conscious expression. Any tendencies to use new idioms, a higher literary expression than is customary, the use of new words, different grammar, unaccustomed trends in argument, all these argue for the side of outward influence. Sometimes there is plainly apparent distinguishing characteristics that are known to belong to one who is in the spirit world. These can be copied by the conscious mind, but can the subconscious do this? One should also notice the fact that much of the automatic writing that is genuinely influenced from the spirit worlds is concerned with statements that would not ordinarily be in the person's mind, statements of life in the spirit world under conditions that no medium could know or would naturally imagine. We know that there are many statements concerning spirit life that are sent through several separate mediums in almost identical language. It is not always easy to get these statements together, but you have probably found many familiar descriptions in your reading. These are all rather delicate shadings to observe. But the careful use of them will show results that an unprejudiced mind cannot question. The various writings will quite decidedly fall into two classes. The following was also received through the pencil, dealing with the subconscious mind and memory. Many of your psychologists believe that all actions of the mind are simply functions of the material brain. We know that they are more especially connected with the spirit brain, and only use the material brain as a vehicle of expression. You have been told the process that takes place when a thought enters a spirit brain and is recorded in memory. Now here is where your psychologists fail to understand. We know that all thoughts and impressions that have been received are recorded in the memory, and under certain circumstances almost any of these can be recalled.